Paul says in Romans 12, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. That's one of the ways you discover your gift. What do you do well and what do you do naturally? That's one of the biggest signals of the gift that God has given you.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're starting a new message entitled, Ready in Your Works. This is the last chapter on the series called Ever Ready. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
When Jesus was asked by His disciples what the signs of His return to earth would be, He launched into the longest prophecy of His earthly ministry, providing many signs to look for. He ended His prophecy with three parables, all having to do with some aspect of being ready for His return. So far, we've talked about the parable of the faithful and the evil servant, and the parable of the 10 virgins. And this time, we're exploring the last parable, the parable of the talents. This parable is about being ready in your works, how you're investing your time and your talent into the kingdom of God. This is a rich and encouraging word, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Ready in Your Works, from the series Ever Ready. Listen carefully to the words of Jesus and answer to His disciples' questions. When will these things be? Will it be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He's still answering those questions in this parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, what that person could handle in their natural ability is what he gifted them with. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded or invested them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Here's the return of Christ. Verse 20. So he had received, who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, what we all want to hear, can we read it? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I want to make you ruler over many things in the millennial kingdom of Christ. So what you do here matters there. Then, verse 22, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 24, but then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. What that means is, since this is what you thought, he's not agreeing with him. He's saying, since this is what you thought of me, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Verse 29, for everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. You say, what's that, Jeff? I don't know, but I don't want to go. And in that outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have just read the word of the Lord. Now, as I said, this is the final of three parables from Jesus in his truly spectacular discourse on the signs to look for preceding his return, and then three parables that tell us how we're to live until he returns. The first one dealt with our faith, the second one our walk, and now this one deals with our works, what we do with the life that God has given to us, what we do with the gifts he has put within us. That's what this one is about. How we spend the time God has given us on this planet. Now, you'll notice that as with the other two parables, we have the master of a house representing Jesus who leaves to go on a long journey. It comforts me when I read the parables here because Jesus lets us know I'm going to be gone for quite a while. Because in all three parables, the person, the main character, goes on a long journey, and the main character always represents Christ. He goes on a long journey. In this parable, before leaving, he entrusts differing sums of money. That's what the talent was. It was money to three different servants. Now, the money is measured in talents, which was the largest unit of money in Jesus' day. There was no larger unit than a talent. Now, let me give you a perspective on how big it was. When you worked for a day in Jesus' time, if you worked for a day, an eight-hour day, you were paid a denarius, one denarius. You made a denarius a day. A talent equaled about 17 years of wages. So five talents that the first one received literally made this first man a multimillionaire instantly. The second man, who was given two talents, was given 34 years of life paid for. The one man was set up for almost two decades. The one that received the one talent was set up for nearly two decades by one gift. Now, the money in this parable represents spiritual gifts and graces. That's what it represents. Jesus is pointing out that our spiritual gifts have really high value. He said, what God has gifted you with, and everybody's been gifted, that gift in Jesus' mind is comparable to talents, the largest measure of money in his time. So our spiritual gifts, in God's eyes, have high value. The Bible teaches that every Christian has been given at least one spiritual gift. I'm going to harp on this until every light and every brain in this sanctuary gets it, goes off and gets it. Because here's Jesus talking about talents given to every member of the church. Because you see, these three servants represent you and me. They represent the church. And Jesus has gifted all of us. Peter said, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, and it's comparable to a talent. It's highly valuable. And we're to use them, says Peter, to serve one another. Now, I know that when I speak on this, some of you are going, well, okay, if I've got a gift, what do you even mean, a gift? I don't even know what you mean by a gift. Well, the Bible is going to answer that. The Bible tells us all kinds of gifts that Jesus has given to the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, here's nine of them. Listen to this. Gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healing, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Everybody say those are gifts. And they are highly valuable. But then Paul goes on further. And in Romans 12, he gives us even more gifts. Here they are. A lot of you are going to resonate with some of these. The gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouraging, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy. I could go on. The gift of intercessory prayer. All these gifts. Look at all these gifts. I just named 15 or 16 of the gifts that Jesus has given to his church. And all Christians have received at least one of the gifts I just read. I'm going to say that again. Every Christian in the church has received at least one of the gifts I just read to you. Every one of you It may be serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, whatever it is. When you got saved, he gifted you. And it's highly valuable. So they represent us. Here's the master of the house, and he's leaving. He's going on a long journey. That's Jesus. And before he leaves, he gifts the servants that are watching the house, and the house is the church. He's gifting the servants that are occupying the house. And the whole gist of the parable is all about making use of the spiritual gift God has given you by investing it into his kingdom's work before he returns. That's the gist of the parable. When he returns, he's going to judge the lost, but he's going to bring the church in front of him, and each one individually is going to answer for how they made use of the gift he gifted you with. That's this parable, the parable of the talents. That's what it means. That's the gist of it. Jesus put it this way in the parable. He's going to return to settle accounts with them. So every one of us is going to give an answer. We will go before the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll go before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're not going to be judged for our sin because our sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But what the judgment seat of Christ is a place of rewards. How did we take the gift? One of those 15 or more. How did we take that gift, and what did we do with it in the house, meaning in the church? How did we use it before Jesus returned? And if we used it well, we're going to receive a reward. Amen. If we didn't use it well, then Paul wrote that our works will be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble, but we will still be saved, so as if by fire. You're still going to get in, but you'll lose rewards. The whole gist of this parable is, whatever he's given you, use it. Use it or lose it. So God invested in you a gift, and let me put it in banker's terms. He wants his investment in you and me to be invested by us in others so that he gets a return on his investment. Now let's break this parable down. As already stated, and I can't say it enough, we've all received a spiritual gift. You say, well, Jeff, I don't feel gifted. Doesn't matter what you feel, you're still gifted. You've got a gift. Now, we've all received a spiritual gift to invest in kingdom work that we're going to give an account of. Now, here's two more verses I haven't read yet. Paul says in Romans 12, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. That's one of the ways you discover your gift. What comes naturally to you? What appeals to you when it comes to some kind of ministry? Some people just love feeding the hungry. Some people love to go into prayer and intercede. Some people can't wait to get around somebody where they can encourage them, and I love taking that kind on vacation with me. I love being around an encourager. Some people can't wait to give. Some people itch to preach and to teach. They just can't stand it. They want to do it so bad. What appeals to you? What do you do well, and what do you do naturally? That's one of the biggest signals of the gift that God has given you. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 7, however, he has given each one of us. Everybody say each one. Now, in the Greek, that means everyone, each one, right? He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, look what Jesus did. When he ascended to the highest, that is when he ascended back into heaven, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. If you're one of the people of Jesus, raise your hand. I'm looking at you. You're saying, I'm his. All right. He gave gifts to you. He gave a gift to you. Everybody has at least one. Some have a few. Everybody has at least one. Now, the second thing I find in this parable is that the two wise servants, the one that got five talents, the one that got two, immediately began investing it. Listen to what the Bible says. Then he who had received the five talents went. Now, in the original Greek language here, that verb went has the meaning of immediately. Then he who had received the five talents immediately went and traded. Jesus tells us these two productive servants lost no time in investing the talents entrusted to them. They got with it. As soon as they realized what they had been given, oh, I got 5 talents. Wow, I got 2 talents. Wow, I have really been gifted by the master before he left for a long time, but he's coming back someday, and he's going to want an accounting of what he gave me, so I am immediately going to begin to invest what he invested into me. Amen. Come on. When he returned, the master discovered that both of the wise servants had doubled their principal. Look, the first one said, I've gained 5 more talents. In other words, he had doubled the master's investment. The one with 2 talents said exactly the same thing. See, when I got saved and I had an experience with the Holy Spirit, I've told you about it. I was saved in juvenile home. I had no high school. If you had lined up 100 people and said, now, one of these is going to be a preacher one day, I want you to pick which one, I would have been number 100. Seriously. Especially if I could show you old pictures of me, hair down to here. If I turned sideways, you couldn't see me. I was so skinny. I had wire-rimmed glasses. I was very, very reclusive. I was very to myself. I didn't like crowds. I was terrified to speak in front of people. I'm telling you the truth. The first time I went to speak in front of people, I didn't eat for 3 days. I fasted, not on purpose. I had no desire to eat. I was terrified. Here's what went through my head. Nobody's going to like it. Nobody's going to get anything out of it. I don't know how to speak. I've never been trained. How in the world am I going to do this? This is wrong. This is a mistake. They picked the wrong guy. They need to find somebody else. I'll just be one of these in the shadows people that prays for the ones that are in the limelight. And the guy that had tapped me said, no, I don't have anybody else. You're doing this Bible study. And I said, but you've made a big mistake. You clearly do not know what you're doing. And he said, no, God has told me. Well, see, what he didn't know was I was being eaten up with holy fire to preach the word of God. But I had all these barricades and all these strongholds. Stage fright deluxe. I was terrified in front of people. 3 or more, my lower lip would start to shake, my eye would start to twitch, and I would turn red. But God doesn't make any mistakes. See, God chooses that which is not to bring to naught things that are. He chooses the weak to confound the strong. Amen? He chooses the most unlikely. And so I went and I did it, and I thought I did terrible. I just knew I did terrible. I spoke to a group of kids. It wasn't a Bible study the first time. It was actually going to the juvenile home where I'd been saved. And I went and I talked about 50 kids, 50 guys, all in this little room. And I shared my testimony, and I was terrified. I couldn't even look at them. I was so scared to speak in front of people. And I turned around. I thought, man, I really blew it. I sat in my chair. I think I gave some kind of an invitation. And I looked down at the floor, and when I looked up, I was surrounded by kids looking at me like, I'm here to pray. You invited us to pray. I said, woo, something was with me that was not me. And see, I learned early on to lean on and depend on the Holy Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit that gave me the gift is the same Spirit that ignites the gift and anoints the gift and empowers the gift and uses the gift. And it was not Jeff, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. And I began to grow confident, not in myself, but in the anointing and the gifting that God had put in me to declare his word. I'm not a multi-gift guy. I've got one gift. That's it. One, to preach and teach and reach with the word of God. That's it. That's my gift. But I have worked it. I have invested it. I have put it on the line. I have sought the Lord. And I'm praying all the time, Lord, help me to maximize my gift before you return. And we ought to all feel the same way. Everybody say, I'm gifted. That tells me you don't believe it the way you did. I'm gifted. Let's try it again. I'm gifted by the Holy Ghost to do something in the house of God. And give the Lord a hand of praise. You're gifted. Because you see, the parable takes a cautionary turn. When we come to the last man, the one who got 1 talent. Now, I used to read this, and I used to think, well, the reason he buried it is because he was sad that the Lord only gave him 1. He said, man, you gave him 5, you gave him 2, but I get 1. You must not think much of me. And I thought that was why he buried it. But that's not why at all. That is not why he buried his talent. Rather than invest his gift, he went out back and buried it. Or we could say he put it under his mattress. He says to the master, I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. He hid his gift. He covered up his light. Jesus said, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, under a table, but you put it on a lampstand so that everybody in the house, meaning the world, can see the light that God has sparked in you, the light of Jesus. This man did that. He's gifted. The other two went and invested. They gave what they had, and they earned the Lord double. The Lord received double for his investment. But this guy, he goes out back with a shovel, he digs a hole, and he throws the Lord's money into it and covers it back up and sits there for a long time, for his whole life. Because it says the Lord was gone a long time. He sat there for years with the gift out back, under the ground, buried. Nobody knew it, nobody saw it, it was never invested, it was never used, it became useless. It didn't gain any interest. In other words, it was not a profitable investment for the master. And so he sits there. And year after year goes by while the other two are going out doubling the investment, bringing glory to God, living for him, investing their gift, doing everything they could do. This guy, he's sitting at home eating potato chips, watching football. God help him if he's watching football. And one day, the master comes back, and he goes to the one with five, and he says, what'd you do with it? He said, I gave you five more, here's 10. He goes to the one with two, what'd you do? I invested it. You gave me two, but I worked those two, I invested those two, I sowed those two, and now here's four to give back to you. He comes to the one with one, and he says, what'd you do with it? Now, I want you to notice what he says. Jesus lets us know that this last servant's problem was not that he'd only received one, but it was found in his opinion of the master. Listen to his negative assessment of the master, who was Jesus. I knew you to be a hard man. You know what that means? That word hard is so strong, it means harsh, unfair, unkind, unreasonable. My opinion of you, sir, was that you were harsh, you're unfair, you're not a good person. You're unkind. You're not reasonable. I don't want to do business with somebody like you. He says that to the master who represents Jesus. And he goes on from there. He should have shut up right there. But he goes on to scour the master's character. He said, you reap where you haven't sown. You know what that means? You steal other men's crops. You go into fields that you didn't sow, and you reap somebody else's harvest. You're a thief. You're not fair. His opinion of the master was negative, and you know what, folks? It was false. So his opinion of the master made him say, I don't trust you. Now, let me tell you something about you and me. We will never serve a God we do not trust. Let me say it again. We'll never serve a God we do not trust. And that's one of the main thrusts of this parable, to show us that the reason he didn't sow his talent was not because he only got one. It was because of what he thought of the master, and because of what he thought of him, he didn't trust him. And this is how the lost world out there sees God. Have you ever noticed that in their view, he's hard, cruel, unfair, and unjust? Have you ever noticed when there's a national calamity, a hurricane, a tornado, something terrible? And it's not long. We typically hear people get on the news. Reporters go out there to the scene of the tragedy, and they interview people, and we hear it almost every time. Somebody looks into the camera and says, why did God allow this?
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message entitled, Ready in Your Works, in this series called Ever Ready. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.